that it even frightened the disciples. They walked behind him and they suddenly got something about his presence and the powerful concentration of his commitment to God's will began to scare them. For this cause, the Lord Jesus says in John 12:27, for this cause came I to this hour, to fulfill the Lord's, the Father's will in my life. And you read through the gospel, it's always like this. Even at the last hour, he is saying, not my will, but yours be done. It's always the will of God that he is concerned about. In his teaching, it's the same thing. He said, don't think that because you call me Lord, Lord, you're going to enter the kingdom of heaven. Don't think because you believe in me and can do this and that, you will enter the kingdom of God. What kind of people enter the kingdom? There it says in Matthew 7. Those who do the will of my Father. That's the only kind of people who enter the kingdom of heaven. Those who do his will. I wonder how you perceive your own life to be. And so we can go on. My food, he says in John chapter 4, verse 34. My food is to do the will of him who sent me. What sustains me, what empowers me, what strengthens me like food is to do his will. Most people find doing his will very exhausting. It's like having eaten the food, you're burning up the energy. But for him, doing the will of the Father is the food. Isn't that amazing? It strengthens him as he does it. John 5:30, I seek not my own will, but the will of him who sent me. Or John 6:38, I did not come to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. You see that constant, intense concentration upon the will of God, all through his teaching, all through his life. Is that the way you live? Is that what describes the quality of your life? Why is he so concerned about the will of the Father? Because he tells us in John chapter 8, verse 29, I always do the things which please my Father. And why does he want to please the Father? Why is this such intense concern to please the Father? Hard for us to understand, isn't it? Because he loves the Father so much. His whole being is filled with this powerful love for the Father. If you love someone so much that you are concerned to do nothing than that which pleases him, that tells of his love. That tells of your love. But how weak is our love? How feeble is our concern for his glory? How little do we care whether we please him or not? We want to please ourselves. So we are going to pass away, leaving not a mark upon the sands of this world. The winds will blow us away. You take your choice. You want to live for yourself and you'll be blown away. You live for God and you abide forever. He who does the will of God, as the scripture says, abides forever. Eternal life is a lifestyle. It's a lifestyle of being committed to the will of God. But here we come to the question. There are those who say, well, you see, yeah, I'm willing sort of to be concentrated in the will of God, but you know, my problem is I don't know what his will is. Yeah, you tell me what his will is and I'll do it. You don't know what his will is? Is it possible that we don't know what his will is? Look again at this Bible you have in front of you. Every page tells you what his will is. And how is it possible we can read this Bible and we don't know what it is? Unless you've been reading it by some other means and looking for something else. If you ever read this Bible asking this question, Lord, what is your will for me? That answer will be shouting back at you from every page. It will be speaking to your heart at every page. Or can it be that you have always thought that the Bible is there to speak to somebody else? It's the guy next to you, not to me. If the Bible doesn't speak to you, then who is it speaking to? Who is this next guy the Bible is speaking to? Who does God speak to if he's not speaking to you? Let us not deceive ourselves. Let us come to understand clearly that God is speaking to us very, very precisely, telling us what is his will, what he wants us to do. The problem is that we don't really want to know his will. Do we? George Miller, that great servant of God, was once asked how he knows the will of God. Well, let me read to you his answer, how he knows the will of God. How does he discern the will of God? He says, "I seek at the beginning to get my heart into such a state that it has no will of its own in a given matter. 9/10 of the trouble with people is just here. 9/10 of the difficulties are overcome once our hearts are ready to do God's will, whatever that will may be. When one is truly in this state of being ready to do God's will, it is necessary, it is usually but a little way to the knowledge of his will." He's saying the problem then, what George Miller is saying is, the reason you don't know his will is basically because you don't really want to do it. If you really wanted to do his will, you would know it. And he said, most people are saying, what is the will of God? Because they really just want to find out what it is and then decide whether they want to do it or not. I said before and I say it again, God's will is not subject to our inspection. Unless you come totally committed to do that will, whatever it is, you're never going to know it. He's not going to tell you what that will is. But once you come with the readiness to say, I have come, O God, to do your will, the will of God, of the living God, will be very clear to you. Why is God not real to so many Christians today? Because you don't want to do his will. I dare you, whoever you are, to stand here today and say, if there is a God, although I am not a Christian, I don't know God, but if there is a God, I will do his will, whatever that will is. I challenge you to try that. And he will tell you what his will is, as clear as day is from night. But if you are not sincere in saying this, and you dare to play around with the living God, you'll be in so much trouble you don't want to know about it. God is the living God. Being a Christian is not a matter of religion. It's not a matter of philosophy. It's not a matter of ethics. It's a matter of the living God and having his life. And if you are serious about wanting to know God, just say one thing to God. Just say one thing. I dare you to say it. Just say to him, I have come, O God, to do your will. That sentence is so powerful, I tell you, it will terrify anyone who doesn't dare to do God's will, who doesn't want to know the truth. But if you dare to say it in all honesty, even though God at this moment is not real to you, if you dare to say it, he will reveal his will to you with such clarity as will quite terrify you. And I think that's precisely why, because the carnal man is terrified of God. He doesn't even dare to know what the will of God is. But if you don't want to know his will, you don't dare to know his will, don't come to me and tell me that God is not real. Because the moment you are committed to do his will, he sure will tell you what the truth of the matter is. That's the words of the Lord Jesus himself in John chapter 7, verse 17. If any man's will is to do his will, he will know of the truth. He will know whether what I say is true or not. It will be inescapable. I hope you did not come to church today just to have been able to say, well, it's Christmas today. See, I've been in church. I want you to be on this Christmas day faced with the reality of these words. Whether you are willing to say on this Christmas day, whether you are a Christian or a non-Christian, whichever way, I have come, O God, to do your will. I came to this church. Maybe I didn't know what I came for in the first place. Maybe I came because it's Christmas Day. But now before I leave, I'm willing to look at this challenge. I am willing, O God, to do your will, whatever it is. You'll be on the way to eternal life. You're going to live in the new quality of life. And if this were not true, if I didn't speak from my own experience, if I were talking through my head, I'm sure you can discern whether I speak the truth or not.
He is the living God. You just say it quietly in your heart to him,
God, I don't know you now. And the reason I don't know you is because I haven't been doing your will. I haven't been wanting to do your will. But now I come, O God, to do your will.
Whatever that is.
You will know him. You will know whether he is the living God. And there are Christians here today who don't know the living God. They are professing Christians. They got baptized, they went to church, they did this and that. But God is not real to them. Why? Because they are still struggling with the question of whether they are going to do his will or not. Whether they will do his will fully or not. There is only one way to do God's will. You either totally commit to doing that will or you don't do his will. Because no partial doing of his will is going to be acceptable to him. Don't say, well, I did this part of his will, I did that part of the will. You're going to do his will as a whole, or you don't do it at all. God does not settle for half measures. I speak as one, by the grace of God, unworthy as I am, who know this to be true. And I wish that every Christian would know on this Christmas day what it means in your own experience, not just to read it here in the Bible, because the Bible is meant to be turned into experience, something that you know to be true through your own life. I know this to be true because I lived it, and by the grace of God, I am still living it. I have come, O God, to do your will. Any such person who lives according to these words of Christmas, why Jesus came, will know the living God. I guarantee it, because the Word of God guarantees it. But then one last point, and we must close as our time is pretty nearly gone. And it is this. Someone will say, yes, well, it's okay for Jesus to do the will of his Father, isn't it? Because he knows the Father. I mean, after all, the first chapter of John tells us he was face to face with the Father. And if I had this face to face experience with the Father, I most probably be doing his will too. You would have to say probably. I dare not, you would not dare to say I'm sure that I certainly will. The Lord Jesus knew him face to face. He talks with the Father face to face. You know him that well. There is a very high probability that you will do his will with that kind of intensity, isn't it? And maybe you're saying to yourself, yeah, well, you see, this is my problem is, it's okay for you, you stand there saying, you know, you concentrate and all this about doing the will of the Father. I mean, you've been walking with the Lord 20, 30 years. No, not quite 30 years. 30 years. I'm giving my age away. Must be coming close to 30 years. I have to confess. That's okay. So you know the Lord, perhaps in a level that we don't know. So it's okay. You concentrate. It's not that way. It's not worth that way. Because I didn't know him at the beginning either. We don't know Father. Huh? We don't know God. That's amazing. I was meditating the other day, and the more I meditated on this point, the more surprised I was. I came to one remarkable conclusion, that actually I know more about the history of God's dealings with men. I know more about God's character and God's ways through his dealings with men than I even know about the life, the biography, the history of my wife. Amazing. And the more I thought about it, it's true. I know more about God and his dealings and his character than I know even about my wife, the closest person to me. As I look back and I thought about it, I knew next to nothing about the first 20 years of my wife's life. Well, I know she went to a certain school. I know I met her parents. I met a few of her friends. I know where she lived in Hong Kong. These things I know, but I know relatively, if I put everything I know about my wife, the first 20 years of her life, she's still very young, of course, but the first 20 years of her life, because when I first met her not that long ago,
She was only around 20 then, you see. And I look back, and if I put down everything I know about my life, my wife's life and biography, I wonder if I could manage to fill even one sheet of ordinary letter paper. But I know about God in such detail and immensity. Why? Look at this book, the Bible. I know God in all his dealings with this person and that person and with this nation and with that nation, what he did and what he said. I don't know a single thing that my wife ever said in the first 20 years of her life. I don't have a clue on it. But look at what the Lord said. I have volumes and volumes, pages and pages of what the Lord said. What he taught the Israelites, what he commanded them to do, where he led them to go, the things that he did. I know volumes and volumes of things that he did. And yet the person closest to me, I don't know half as well. In fact, I realized that I could predict the Lord's doings and actions far more precisely than I could predict what my wife would do in a given situation. I could see, at a guess, she would most probably do this, but I couldn't say for certain, because she might forget, as most people often do forget. She might forget this or forget that, or she might just happen not to do what I expect her to do at that time. But God, because he's the same yesterday, today, and forever, is, when you know him well, you could predict his actions with astonishing accuracy. My wife herself is a witness to that. As I shared, one striking example was when I predicted the exact timetable of what the Lord would do in a given situation. I said to her, in 3 days' time, the Lord is going to do this. And I told her the whole timetable. He is going to do this, and then the next day he's going to do this, and the next day he's going to do that. And I said, I'm telling you this in advance, you are going to be my witness. Because if I tell you afterwards, and I said, you see, I thought so, there's nothing there. But if I tell you 3 days in advance what he's going to do, and that timetable, you will be my witness whether this is true. And she is my witness. It came to pass exactly as I said it would. On the third day, on the fourth day, on the fifth day. Exactly as I predicted he would do it. He did it. See, how is it possible for you to know? I know. That's why we have a Bible in front of me. I know exactly how his character is. I know how his mind works. I mean, exactly means insofar as if by the Lord's grace I'm able to discern it from Scripture. It's an amazing thing to realize that I know God better than anyone else in this world. And you can too. Amazing. And it struck me the other day, and I was filled with joy as I paced up and down in the kitchen. I said, amazing. The closest person to me in this world, I don't know as well as I know God. I could not predict what my wife would do with that kind of accuracy. I'm sure she will understand and you will understand. You can't predict anyone's actions with that accuracy. But because God is unchanging in his inner character, and because the whole Bible has revealed him to me in such detail that if we only bother to study the Scripture with that accuracy, you would know God in so intimate and so precise a way that you couldn't believe that there's anyone in this world that you know so well as God. And so let's look at the picture again. You say, well, if I knew God, I would do his will. You don't know God? That's what you got a Bible for. What is that Bible doing in front of you? It's there telling you what he is like. It even quotes his words. It tells you how he acts in this way, how he reacts in that way, what he does in this situation, what he does in that situation. It's all there. And if after reading through this huge volume, you still don't know what God is like, then I wonder what you've been reading. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that exciting? That there is one person in this world, and the one person that really matters, who has revealed himself completely to us. Jesus, we learn, came into the world in John chapter 1, verse 18. He came into the world in order to do what? to reveal the Father to us. He has revealed the Father to us. If the rest of the Old Testament was not enough, then he has revealed himself to us completely in Jesus. Now, what more can you ask for? Of course, if you want to experience him, the only way to do that is to be committed to do his will. Only when you are unconditionally committed to do his will, all these things you read about will become part of your experience. Otherwise, there will just be some knowledge that you don't even know what to do with. May it please the Lord then that God accomplish his purpose in each one of your lives. At this Christmas and every other Christmas, I hope you will remember these words again. I have come, O God, to do your will. Why did he give us a new life? So we can twiddle our fingers and wait till we get to heaven, and then when we get to heaven, we don't know what to do there. There's a whole program for us. But we must first be committed unconditionally and without reserve to do his will. And then you will experience his power in your life. And then you're going to know him as the living God. You will have the gift of life, and through that gift, the experience of the living God. Let us pray.